Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Drum and Drummer, a podcast focused on drums, drumming and drummers. I'm George Pickering and that's Ben Winty, and we are both professional drummers in this business we call music. So stick around and join us as we pass the time whilst trying to stay in time.
Sort of sums up the 90s, really.
Yeah. Friends and Microsoft Word.
Joining me once again, it's George Pickering.
In the Red Corner. I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right, mate. Yeah,
I'm
just
put
to
a
say, you're very planty.
Oh my god! Hang on, I left the timer on from something. So 20 hours. Let's reset because we've got a lot to talk about. So I'm going to put a timer on.
Yeah, we have got shitloads to get through. A bucket full of shitloads.
I am planty because I'm back in my flat. This is where I'm going to do the podcast from here on out until they get. If they get better Wi-Fi at the studio. If they don't, fine. It's warm here. You know, there's tea-making facilities. Same as the studio, actually. There isn't much difference between my studio and my flat, in a way, you know?
Just
I could probably sleep at the studio.
Just a percentage of loneliness.
Well, this is it, but my percentage of loneliness
and
is always...
And it's more lonely in the flat, then?
I think it might be, yeah. I do sometimes go to my little place where other people rent studios just to talk to someone. There's usually someone there, you know.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
What are you doing? You doing some practicing? Oh, no, it's all right. Yeah, sorry, I'll leave you to it. Yeah, cool. Okay. Yeah. Bye. You know, that's usually how the conversations go. Right, what should we begin with?
Well, let's start with Ben Corner's birthday party.
Oh, yeah. We went out together, which since doing the podcast has happened... Aside from the UK drum show, because that was more business.
It was all business, baby.
We went out once, maybe, to the Young Pine gig.
Yeah.
As Drum and Drummer. Beyond that, we haven't done anything, you know?
No.
We weren't there at Ben Corner's 30th birthday party as a podcast, but we were there together.
Arrived separately, left separately.
But
we got invited, played a lot of shows with Ben. He's a guitarist, and he cordially invited us to his birthday, which was a sort of open sort of jam night thing at a rehearsal studios, not mine,
no,
but another one. And I think I described it in a WhatsApp as your dream and my nightmare.
Well, I was going to say, you brushed over that quite quickly because it's a rehearsal slash... No, it is just rehearsal. There's no recording going on there.
There is now.
Is there?
Yeah.
But I'd say they're your rivals in terms of they're the closest one to you, you know?
Yeah, they're very close. But, you know, so is Manchester City and Bolton. So, but different leagues, isn't it?
But yeah, you're not a fan of
No, I'm joking. I'm joking. I had to venture into the enemy's territory. But
But I didn't know if you were going to turn up because you're having dinner with your mum.
Yeah.
How was that? Is that right?
Lovely. Thank you. Yeah. But I turned up and who was sat behind the kit having his little jam? It was old Georgie boy. There you were. Of course he's on the drums.
Well, what was funny is when I turned up late. Ah, here's something, right? So I have a theory of parties. I don't know if I told you this. Never, ever turn up on time. Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? Say it starts at 7, which it did. turn up at 8:30. Turn up at 8:30. Because, and it works at any time. You know, if party starts at 9, turn up at 10:45. You know what I mean?
I think, right, because obviously no one turns up on time. Do you know what I mean? It's so common not to turn up on time. But I think what's now happened is you have to go, so don't turn up at 7, turn up at 7:30.
Mm.
But everyone knows not to turn up at 7. So you know everyone's starting at 7:30. So unofficially it starts at 7:30.
Yeah.
So then you've got to push it and go, well, if everyone's going to start at 7:30 because no one wants to start at 7, then I've got to come at least 8 to actually be sort of fashionably late to the party. But they're triple bluffing because everyone knows that. So everyone knows, well, don't go at 7, get there at 7:30. But if everyone knows that, then everyone's going to get there at 8 because no one wants to be the first to get there at 7:30. So you're going another level. We're on inception level shit. So you're going, I'll turn up at 8:30.
Wow. That was like a Michael Cera. What's his name? Michael Cera? What, Cera? The guy who talks very quickly. He was in the Social Network film.
Oh, no, that's... Jesse Eisenberg, you're talking about.
That was like Jesse Eisenberg. That was mad. Well, anyway, I turned up at 8:30, and by that time, there's enough people there that you're like, they're like, oh, George is here. But it's not so many people that it's
half
10.
Was anyone like, oh, George is here, though, were they?
Well, yeah, and okay. I'll tell you why. Because there were no drummers yet. So the kit hadn't even been set up, and they went, oh, you're the only drummer who's here and possibly the only one that will turn up. So it's likely you'll have to play all night. And I went, oh no, that's a shame. Yeah. And Ben was like, could you set the kit up? Because no one knows how to set a kit up. I was like, yes, I would be happy to. And then he gets to playing. I was just about to play. And then someone who is a drummer walks in and he was like, oh, do you mind if I go first? I was like, yeah, cool. And then I remember as I was playing, I think I saw Stefan, who is a friend of both of us, who is a fantastic drummer, and I went, ah, oh, fuck, he's here.
Were you hoping you'd be the best drummer in the room until I arrived?
I was hoping I'd be the only drummer in the room, to be honest. Okay. When they said that, I was like, well, I get to play all night. And then suddenly all these other people turned up, and I was like, oh, I'm going to have to share the sticks. And the sticks are like big old tree trunks with plastic tips.
Didn't take your own sticks?
No, God, no. I didn't do that. But then you turned up, which was a shock and a pleasant surprise. And we just sort of...
So I was even more fashionably late. I took it to the fourth level. I turned up about 9:10.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, you'd been having whatever you had for dinner.
Yeah, lovely dinner, thank you. But yes, you played the drums and I didn't.
Yeah, I don't think we need to dwell on it any more than that.
No, but it was lovely. It was together. Nice. It was good.
Yeah,
I actually enjoyed myself. So thank you, Ben, for inviting us.
Yeah, thank you, Ben Corner.
Right, what else we got, George? What else we got? Yeah, what do you want to do next? Email or icebreaker?
Let's do email. And we'll do icebreaker.
Okay. We've had an email. Come in.
We need a bit of music for that. Yeah, jingle. Yeah. That's the word.
I'll sort something out.
I'll leave it
not for this week, but I'm busy. But I'll sort something out for another time. But we had an email all the way from France.
Yeah, this is cool.
Yeah, so Kevin R has been in touch. Hello, Ben and George. He's put my name first, not because I'm the senior member of the
much
team.
Like,
but
you put your name first on everything.
Alphabetical, isn't it? Hello, Ben and George. I heard your surprise at France being high on the list of countries that you get listeners. Because on one of the Christmas or... I quizzed you.
Yes. And I remember saying, well, bonjour, motherfuckers, when it turned out that France is the third most listened to... No, I've said that wrong.
France is the third most listened to country.
Yeah. No. I couldn't change the sentence as I was saying it.
Yeah.
Basically, our top listeners goes... UK, America, France.
Yeah. So I thought I'd say hi from France. There's about 300,000 UK expats here, some working and some retired. Amongst them are musicians that play in bands at bar/restaurant gigs. Lots going on outdoors in the summer. I've even met a couple of British drummers of a very high standard. One's an ex-drum tech with a shaved head. he's probably listening, so there's more than you'd think. He's probably not, but... let's hope he is.
Yeah.
Kevin goes on to say, I'm a 65-year-old learner. I bought an electric kit at age 60, started off with some lessons. They're mainly self-taught, using RSL gradebooks to learn to read drum notation and keep the grey matter going, and I'm really enjoying it. A couple of years on, I went acoustic, a Yamaha Stage Custom. I know that you like pictures, see attached. Got an old outbuilding renovated, and I practice most days and have the odd lesson when visiting the UK. Currently dipping into songs grade 4 and 5. If only I'd started younger. Regards from Kevin. Well, that's lovely, isn't
Thank it? Thank you so much, Kevin. Oh,
Thank
so
you
lovely.
For emailing
so
in. And, I've got the picture
my Goldwater kit.
Lovely Stage Custom. Cannot go wrong with the AMI Stage. The AMI SC, the Stage Custom. It's a newer one. I can tell by the badge. You can tell by the badge. And looks as well like he's got himself a, I'm going to say a set of, I might be wrong, but they look like Zildjian A Customs.
Can I say also, the hardware looks lovely. Those
Yamaha hardware, mate.
Just beautiful.
It's lovely, single brace. Just that Yamaha hardware will just go on for days, for years. Yeah. And he's got his Vic Firth practicing headphones. Yeah. Lovely little setup on it.
He's got a little sort of, not filing cabinet, but there's some papers there. Love to know what that is, Kev. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What
could be music, could be
transcriptions of our podcast, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. But thank you so much for getting in touch. And late learner at the drums, but glad you're enjoying it.
Yep. And keep them coming in, people. Because
keep them coming in. Send us your kit pics.
Not to sound cheesy, but it genuinely makes our day when we see an email. We go, oh, look at that! Look at that
Definitely
email.
Does, yeah.
Yet,
Thank you very much for listening.
Yeah.
And spread the bon word. It's French for good. Isn't
really
it?
Good. Yeah, really good French there, mate.
What's next on our list, mate?
Should we do Icebreaker?
Let's do Icebreaker.
So I did Icebreaker, the Pompey Music Festival that happens in winter, which is quite a good idea, I think, because all festivals happen in summer. And then I can't remember the name of the guy that runs it and organises it. It's my dad's mate's son. I can't remember his name. But he went, hang on, there's nothing going on in winter, especially Feb. Let's do a festival then. And I think his name's Mike or someone. And they go, whoa, Mike. Ugh, I can't bother to make up the story. Right, so
is it on 2 days now or just one?
I think it was just, I don't know. I think it was just one.
Just one. So as far as I know the history of it, so we used to have a thing called Southsea Fest, which was in sort of September. And basically, Albert Road and Elm Grove, all the pubs and venues along that place turn into gig venues for the day. It's one of them all-day sort of things. You get a wristband. You can just walk in and out, much like sort of Camden Rocks.
Yeah.
Things like that in London. Most cities have something like that. And Southsea Fest was going for a number of years, and I played it a few times. And then Victorious turned up the weekend before.
Yeah.
And then basically everyone went to Victorious.
Yeah.
And Southsea Fest sort of died on its arse.
Yeah.
But it was, I don't think it's the same people, but anyway, they sort of resurrected that idea of a one-day multi-venue street festival and thought, well, let's do it in the fucking winter where there is no other gigs, no other festivals.
No.
And things like that. But you were there with Ren.
Yeah. Well, we played there last year on the Wedgwood Room stage, and I think she genuinely didn't want to do it again because she thought, well, we're not going to get that slot again. So what's the point? And then they messaged us and said, look, we've had a band pull out. Can you guys do it? And she was almost reluctant. I think genuinely she was like, it'd be a bit of a come down to go from, because it's so much fun to play the Wedge. And if it's fairly filled room, and then instead, not to sound like we're too good for any of the other venues, but I think she was like, I don't know, we just played a gig, I don't know, I'm not sure, but anyway, she was like, well, what is it? And they said, well, it's Edge of the Wedge at 7. And she went, yeah, okay, let's do it. But she sort of was like, do you guys want to do it? We literally played the Edge last week. We're like, yeah, okay, we'll do it. And it was great. It was probably my best playing I've ever done. You know, I mean, we've talked about this before, like what makes it your best playing. But sometimes you just have a gig and for whatever reason, it's just everything's working well. You know, the sound's good in your ears. Everything's set up nice. I think something that added to it was the fact that I use my own stool, my own drum throne, which is a bit of a game changer because they said you have to bring one. And it doesn't sound like much to the non-drummers listening, but it really is. I mean, if you think about it, like we always bring all our whole setup to a function gig, but then you've got to play a function gig. But a lot of these sorts of gigs, it's like you borrow a lot of stuff, so you're sort of competing. Whereas this, the kit was quite good. Everything was in quite a nice place. I didn't have to stretch or I didn't have to, you know, struggle. So it kind of felt like my kit. And yeah, I just felt relaxed, comfortable. And I was having a bloody good laugh as well. Because first of all, Millie, a.k.a. singer of Ren, a.k.a. Ren, she was wearing these hair extensions, which at first I went, Core, your hair's grown a lot. And she was like, yeah, Mikey said that. You guys don't understand hair. And I was like, well, no, obviously I don't. But Dunk, the guitarist, got his guitar head caught in her hair during maybe the first song.
Or did she get her hair caught in Dunk's guitar?
This is it. The two are not mutually exclusive. And then it got snagged. And then she couldn't get it out. And I was just playing, pissing myself. I was like, this is the funniest thing. Like, she just... And her dad came on stage and was like untangling it. And I'll put any of it online that I can find because it was very funny. And then later on in the set, I ended a fill and like just let the drumstick, let it leave my hand and it like pinged off the low tom and flew into the air and then like just missed Dunk. And that made a few people laugh. And then Mikey, the bass player, was wearing like this sleeveless leather jacket. And he got really hot really quick. So he was trying to get it off before we started the song. And it was a song where I don't come into... I mean, you've seen me play where it's like I'll sort of sit there for 2 minutes and then have to play a loud beat for a minute. And then that's me for another 2 minutes at times. So he was trying to get this leather jacket off. And he just looks at me like, come on, help me, help me, help me. And I start getting off him. And then
I'm just picturing Ross from Friends.
Oh,
trying to get his leather pants.
You have to explain. What's the scene? I haven't seen Friends, you know.
Ross goes on a date, and I think he's newly divorced, and he tries to look cool, so he wears leather trousers.
Right.
And then he gets all quite hot and sweaty in these leather trousers as they're on the sofa.
Yeah.
And then he's like, goes to the toilet to sort of try and cool down. And so he pulls the trousers down and sort of sprinkles water on his legs to cool down. And then the trousers won't go back up. So he phones Chandler, but Chandler's not there. So he speaks to Joey. And then Joey's like, oh, find some like cream. So he smothers his legs in cream to try and get the trousers up. Doesn't happen. Oh, try like talcum powder. Tries that. And then it just makes this big white messy paste all around his legs. And he just can't get his trousers back up.
Well, there you go. It was,
and that was the
like
90s.
No, so get over it.
Sort of sums up the 90s, really.
Yeah, Friends and Microsoft Word. So,
yeah.
I saw a meme once, and it was like the Microsoft logo and the Friends picture, and someone said this was the 90s, and I was like, yeah.
Pretty much.
Anyway, so I get his jacket off him finally, and then rather than just putting it on the floor, I went, I'm just going to wear this. And then a few people laughed, and I was like, ah, this is my role for the show. I'm just a comedian.
The clown.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, just a clown.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
And at what point does Millie go, George, stop pissing around?
This is the
throwing
eternal,
drumsticks.
This
and
is the eternal question, because I'm the session drummer. You know what I mean? I have to just sit there, play the beat, and let her be the show. But if someone passes you a leather jacket, you're going to put it on and do the Fonzie fingers, you know. So, yeah. But other than that, great gig. Everything went well. It was just in and out. Smash and grab. Smash and grab. I mean, I got there at 6.
Did you watch any other bands?
We were playing at 7. No, I did not. I had work the next day. So I... as soon as we were done, I loaded out, managed to park on the road next to the gig, which is surprising, and just left afterwards. I would have liked to have stayed, see Archie, or no, he was on before us. Would have.
He saw you.
Yeah, he saw me. I didn't manage to get there on time before because all disclosure, full disclosure, not all disclosure, full disclosure, I hadn't prepared anything for the gig that morning and had to make the whole live set. So it was kind of, you know, just got it done before leaving for the gig. But Mackenzie was on afterwards. Wouldn't like to have seen her. But yeah, it was, you know, Icebreaker's cool. If you ever get the chance, listeners, go to it, because something to do in Feb, innit? There ain't really much to do in Feb. But yeah, good night out. Right, you've bought a lot of stuff.
Yes.
Let's talk about that.
Comfort of the drum stool. I've done a bit of shopping, boy.
Yeah, a bit. A bit.
Yeah, I was thinking, right, okay, look, upgrades for my kit. Where am I at? What have I got? And recently I've had some new cymbals. I've had the BDC snare, the Power Sense tones. Like, been very cymbal, snare, sort of heavy, you know. I'm not at a point yet for new shells. But it was like, well, where's the bits that, you know, could be improved? And let's be honest, every bit of a drum kit can be improved and added upon ad infinitum. I think that's the Latin. It's definitely
Is it?
I don't know. And number one target was stool.
Yep.
Was what I was going. I'm going to go for the bits my body touches.
Mm.
Pedals, stool.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah?
I like
comfort.
That.
Comfort. Because, someone said, oh, I saw online, invest your money in the things you sit on and lie on.
Mm.
Shoes, sofa, bed, the things that you make contact with. And I applied that to the drums. So number one, drum stool. Now, a few weeks ago, maybe even before Christmas, when I was down the old G-Russ, Graham Russell, I was thinking about a new stool. And as you know, I like to take my time with decisions.
Mm.
And they had, you know, I've heard Rock and Sock.
Yep.
Are up there with the comfiest sort of stools. And the Ahead Spinal G, the Ahead Spinal Glide.
Mm.
And I just sat on every stool they had. And I sat on them and I'm like, yeah, no, that's a huge difference.
Yeah.
Like sitting on a Rock and Sock.
Yeah.
From, I've just got a stand, very standard circular Mapex, you know, black leather on a three-legged, dual-braced spindle.
Mm.
But I sat on the Ahead Spinal G. My body melted.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
This is comfort.
Yeah.
So I bought one last week. And I bought the one, I've got the one with the backrest.
Mm-hmm.
And I just read a lot online, if you have back problems or if you have back issues, this is the seat for you.
Yeah.
And having sat on one, I was like, yeah, I think so. So yeah, I've got one. Oh, fucking hell, it's brilliant. Oh, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's a beast. It's a bit of a beast. It's got four legs.
That's a lot.
Yeah. It's one more than three.
Well, I've got that, but I'm trying to picture, like, how. Because
it looks weird, because so many things in drums are threes, aren't they?
Yeah.
Cymbal stand legs are threes, floor tom legs are threes.
Yeah.
But this has got four, so it does look odd.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, incredibly comfortable.
What makes it comfortable? Like, what are they doing that's different to your one that you've already had?
I don't know, but I guess, like, whatever the pads are made of, the actual material that you're sitting on. But this is one, the main sort of visually, well, main difference is that it's like it's bicycle seat shaped, you know, like a big wide bicycle seat. So it's got the sort of, it's not purely circular, it's got the point near the cock and balls, basically.
Yeah.
But it's made up of two separate pads. So there's actually a line down the middle. If you were to draw from when you're sat from the end of your dick down your perineum through to your arsehole.
Is that the
There's
title?
There's actually a gap. So essentially, you've got one cushion per cheek.
Yeah, I've seen these.
Yeah. But you don't really feel like you're sat on two different things. But just the way, I don't know, I guess, you know.
Does it open it up, maybe, if you got both arse cheeks on a seat? And then
I don't know, if it just does, like,
to your
just
to your ass.
Gives you, like, more support?
Were you supporting each cheek separately, but the backrest, man. Woo,
that does sound good. I have seen 40. the sort of absence of stool where it's like a gap, and you know, I've looked at it, gone like
it looks like
your balls fall through.
Then you lose them forever. It's like losing anything down the gap in the sofa.
I try and do my trick and stand up while playing. The balls, stay in the stool.
Trapped. Fuck. But yeah, the backrest. So I did some session drumming last week as well. So it was the first time I was using some of this stuff and sitting on the stool. And it took a bit of getting used to, like, you know, where am I actually going to sit in relation? But just having that support and sort of leaning back a bit, helping with posture. I felt like I could sit here for days and play. This is a game changer. So that's the stool. I've got pictures of the kit set up, so we'll pop them on the gram.
Do it.
What else does my body touch? apart from the listeners' hearts and minds. feet. What are my feet touching?
Yeah.
Now, so I've gone new hi-hat stand, a new double kick drum pedal.
You got a new hi-hat stand? I didn't even know that.
Yes. I bought a lot of stuff, George. calm down. But double pedal was on my list.
Yeah.
And I now own a direct drive kick pedal.
That's very cool.
So we've talked about difference between chain and direct drive before. And I've got direct drive. I did a lot of research on... Looking at, you know, you got your DWs. You're yawning. That's good.
Sorry. Long day.
You got your DWs. You got Yamaha, Pearl, Trick, all those sorts of, obviously, Tama. And I mentioned about the multicolored marble dipped ones.
Yeah.
Decided not to go for one of those. But I went down G-Russ and tried out the Yamaha one that Sam Sanders has got with the blue bits, which is very nice. DW... The Tama and Trick, and for me, I've got it was the Pearl Demon XR that I purchased. let me tell you, not cheap.
No. And I tried to guess, and you were like a bit more than that.
Keep going up. you can Google it. But Christ alive, it's like, oh, that's what a smooth pedal feels like.
Really,
honestly, it's unbelievably quick.
Yeah.
And it looks great as well. And it's got the beaters are like plastic, but like quite small. It's hard to describe, but they're not fully sized beaters. But yeah, direct drive, double kick pedal. And it was just like, you just push it down and just watch it wobble. For the resistance is so small. But yeah, really direct drive, it was like, fucking hell, yeah, this is quick. Now, there's a few sort of different models of Pearl, and they got like the Red Line, and there is another Demon, but the Demon XR was designed in conjunction with a sort of quite speed metal drummer.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name, but he plays incredibly fast. Now, I ain't going to be doing that sort of stuff.
No.
But I was like, I'm ready for the big time.
Yeah.
And I tried a lot of pedals out, and that was the one that I was like, yeah, this is very good. Just quick one question.
Does it feel too quick? Does it feel like, oh, bloody hell, my foot's going to fly off? Or is it okay? Because sometimes I play different pedals and you're like, whoa, how do you do this? I can't get any control.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And I felt that when I first played Sam's Yamaha one.
Yeah.
I was like, Christ. But I really think like... The XR as well, actually, this Demon XR has like much bigger, thicker springs. So you get whilst the speed at pushing your foot down is incredibly quick, the subsequent spring back is as quick, so you feel like you're getting that resistance. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Whereas on my I had my other Pearl pedal set up because I was just skinning up another bass drum, and I pushed down that. I was like, oh, this is like trudging through grit
yeah
and shit. And it's like, definitely it's different, and I think it will take me a bit of time to get used to. But I think the balance of is it too quick or is it just not what I'm used to is more just I'm not used to it. But it felt so much easier to play.
Yeah.
And I felt like my leg and my leg muscles and foot was having to just not work as hard.
That's good.
Which is good. And I'm sitting on the head spinal G. It's like, this is so comfortable to play. And then I was like, well, I'll get hi-hats down as well, you know. Again, did some decent research. And the one that stuck out to me was Pearl. I've always liked Pearl stuff. And it's the H2050. It's their top-of-the-line hi-hat stand. It's two-legged.
That's what I was going to ask, yeah.
I much prefer a two-legged hi-hat stand. But this is chain drive, but it has like two separate chains working along the sort of axis. So there's one chain on a cam that when you push the beater down, but then there's a separate chain that links to the actual hi-hat stem. So you've got two chains working simultaneously. But what you can do on this, I haven't tried it yet, is you can actually switch out the cam. So the bit the chain goes round, they have different shaped cams, which give you different speeds or resistance, things like that. So that's interchangeable. But, I mean, it's fucking solid. It looks great. And actually, I worked out like that my old Natal hi-hat and Pearl double pedal I'd had for, I think, nearly 12 years.
Yeah.
Because I got them when I started playing in Decade.
Yeah.
And it's like, fuck, that is 12 years ago. So, yeah.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
But then I also threatened New Year's kind of resolution, really, what things we wanted to do for 2024. And one of them was I wanted to reskin all my toms.
Yeah.
If you remember.
I remember that.
And I said, I don't know if I said it on here, but I definitely said to you, but I want to give Remo a pop.
Yeah.
Because I've been Evans for ages. Let's try some Remo out. So I bought a full new set of skins for my four Toms, Batter and Rezzo, top and bottom. And I've also reskinned Batter and Rezzo on my kick as well. So I'll talk about kick briefly, because actually I've stuck with Evans. I've stuck with the EMAD 2,
mm-hmm.
but I've got the matching EMAD Rezzo skin now as well. Whereas before I just had the stock Mapex on there. So it's all black. It's got a slightly smaller porthole, which has that EMAD foam that comes on the ring around the center, the batter skin, but it has that surrounded in plastic around the porthole. So really not much has sort of changed, but I've just got a fresher kick skin because, you know, they're so expensive, you don't change them that often. And I've also gone with me Evans double EQ patch as well. Now, Toms. So I was like, I want to give Remo a shot, but what Remo do I want? What do I want to get? And one of the things I said about doing was switching the Rezzo back to a one ply, because quite often for a long time now I've been using Evans G2, which is a dual ply on top and bottom. And what I thought about doing is, like, you know, that was just to help control overtones and to have very punchy sort of rock drums. But I kind of, you know, traditionally maybe you could say it's a two ply on top and a single ply on bottom. And I was like, I want to go back to that and see what I can do now, tuning wise, with a bit more understanding and more experience to make that sort of work. So I was looking, okay, well, what other common Remo skins used? And obviously you've got, you know, you see the names Emperor, Ambassador, Diplomat, things like that. But what do these mean, George?
Yeah, good question.
What do they mean? So I might do a deeper dive in skins on another episode. But so the Emperors, so I'm talking about clear skins as well. You can get coated versions, but I'm sticking with clears. So the Emperors are a two-ply. Two-ply clear. There's no internal dampening. There's no, you know, like a pinstripe or anything like that. They are just a fully clear skin, dual ply, two ply. That's the Emperors. The Ambassador is the same, but single ply. So again, no dampening. Now, these are essentially the equivalents of the Evans G2 and G1. So there's no inner dampening, there's no dots, there's nothing. They are just a clear skin.
Just a bog standard is your skin.
Bog standard.
You deal with it.
You deal with it. Yeah. You sort it out. It's not our job.
Yeah. If you want dampening, you do it yourself. Fuck off.
Yeah.
Here's a skin.
Call a bloody dampener in.
Yeah.
Yeah, but leave us alone, yeah?
Yeah.
So your G2 is your dual ply and your G1 is your single ply. And you can very much put those together, the Emperor and the G2 and the Ambassador and the G1. So I was like, right, rather than do anything fancy with power dot reversers or pinstripes or anything like that, I'm going to go Emperor on the top, Ambassador on the bottom. Right, so I've got my dual ply and my single ply. I could have done this with G2s and G1s, but I wanted to hear, I'd have a better understanding of the equivalency of switching to a single ply on the bottom if I stuck with essentially the equivalents.
Yeah.
So the changes I'm making is going Evans to Remo and single ply on the bottom.
Yep.
So I reskinned all four Toms. And I'm liking it. I'm liking it. You can definitely... I did this studio session with Neil last week, so it was all fresh. And we definitely noticed that there was a bit more sort of tone from the shell. Like, it had a bit more life. It was a bit more... I don't want to say natural sounding, but there was a bit more natural sustain, I think, from the single ply, having that as a rezzo. And actually what we found, a couple of moon gels on the 12-inch rack and O-rings, E-rings on the 14 and 16-inch floor. But one thing I did notice as well, actually, though, is I didn't... Normally I have a little bit of tape on the bottom skin of the floor, Tom, just going from the rim onto the skin. And I didn't really need that.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's necessarily because I'm a bit better at tuning. or whatever. But I found actually quite quickly I was able to get a very good balance of dampening and tone from the drum. So, and I don't know that there's, I don't know if it's just my ears playing tricks, but there feels like there's potentially a little bit more of a like stick impact on the Remos. There's a little bit more of like a definition, maybe. But fine. But this is then what interested me is when I got all these skins, I was like, right, I've got the Emperors for the top, Ambassadors for the bottom. Now, I was like, I was expecting the single ply to be a lot thinner. Because it's like, well, that's a dual ply. But I was like, well, this Ambassador doesn't feel that much thinner than the Emperor. But what I learned is, so the dual ply is 2.7 mil and the single is 1.10 mil. So it ain't half as thick. You know what I mean? It's still single ply, but it's thicker. You can use, you know, Ambassadors on the top, you know, as you batter. But that's what I did. And so far, pretty happy. And I think the difference if I had G2s, G1s wouldn't be huge, but I'm giving Remo a shot. And this is what I also learned. So, you know, pinstripes have the black line around the sort of about an inch in.
Yeah.
The Evans equivalent is the EC2.
Ah, okay.
I've used those. They've got the black line and it's like going, something just connect, and you know, it's ignorance or whatever, but finding out, really going, okay, between the two brands, what are the sort of equivalents?
Yeah.
And it's like, and then once you have that understanding, that really helped me know what to kind of go with, because I knew where I was at and I knew where I could sort of go. So, yeah, that's going to be, you know, that's cool.
Fantastic.
And then lastly, shall I talk about going to Grandmaster with Liam?
Yeah. Yeah, why not?
Yeah. So, Liam from Young Pine, who we've had on the show, go check that episode out and also go check out their new single.
Yeah.
Call You Up, which I produced.
Check out all their songs. They're all great.
Yeah. Yeah. He spoke to me at the last rehearsal and he's like, he wanted to get a new crash cymbal and maybe some other stuff. And I said to him, look, I need to get some stuff from Grandmaster. I'll come down with you if you want, and I'll help you pick, you know. So we went down on the morning of Icebreaker, actually.
Yeah.
I got in the car, I picked him up, and I was like, what are you after, and what's your budget?
And who are you? Like, what do you want?
Who are you? And he wanted a new snare drum. And then maybe a cymbal prioritising crash. But see, so he told me his budget, so I was like, cool, we got stuff to work with here. What are you after snare-wise? He really liked my Pearl Sensitone that we used in the studio, you know, the 120 quid one that you got as well. But I don't think they got any more of those. But he's like, I really like that. So he's like, 14-inch steel, 14x5.5 drum. Cool, we've got a target in mind. And he really likes my 19-inch Legacy Crash. So we go down to see Graham Russell. This is another story for another day, but we walk in quite early Saturday, just after opening, in incredible pile of drum cases, just in reception. And Graham says, sorry about the mess. I've just been to someone's house and bought 34 drum kits off him. And then, I'm not joking, the shop was full of drums, to the point you couldn't even get on a platform to even look at stuff. Piles and piles of drum kits, and we'll talk about that another day. Anyway, so then I was like, right, let's look at the snare drums. And lo and behold, there was a 14x5.5 steel Pearl Sensitone. I'd say better than the ones we have, like a few models up. Much more solid sort of construction. And it was just like, I know this is going to be the one, you know. Ticks all the boxes, but we'll go and hear what it sounds like. We also grabbed another Atama snare as well, and Graham just said, I'll just go and set it up on the kit upstairs, and if you don't mind just sorting yourselves out. I was like, great. He gave us a snare weight and a drum key and some sticks, and we took him up. So I just tuned up this Pearl Sensitone and I just played it, and Liam went, yep, that's the one.
Yeah.
And it sounded really good.
Yeah,
it was really tight. Had a
massive, like it was crack, you know, a big crack, a good pop.
Yeah. Listen back. Yeah.
Sounded really good. It felt sturdy. It was 10 lugs rather than 8. It just, it felt like this is all very well. I think it had like, I think they're called floating lugs as well. Mm. But it was like, this is, and for the price, it was like, if he doesn't buy it, I'm buying
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
So we were happy with that. And then we were looking at cymbals. So I just went around and we just grabbed 19-inch crash cymbals. Mm. There's a couple of Sabians. There was a
Is
minor.
That what you wanted, 19-inch then?
19-inch was the goal because of my legacy. He uses that for recording and for rocking out on. So that was our target. Mm. So there was a couple of 19-inch Sabians. There was a Extreme and an Explode, mm-hmm. both HHX, hand-hammered. So we put them on the stands and straight away, one of them was just like, yeah, this sounds amazing. Mm. They both sounded really good. But one of them just, I think maybe one was 18 and one was 9, but it was like, that sounds really good. But then it was like, well, just to check, I'm going to go grab some other 18s and 20s from Zildjian and Meinl. And very quickly pop them on, hit them. Yeah, no. So you just want to sort of double check. And then I grabbed a 20-inch K cluster crash.
Mm.
I was like, 20-inch, let's just pop it on. So we had the other Sabian that Liam was going to get that he really liked. And I put this other K on. And he hit it. And it was like, that sounds really good.
Yeah.
And I went, just to let you know, Liam, I'm going to buy this one. So I bought another crash cymbal as well. So yeah, third crash cymbal. I said to Neil, like, he's like, why have you bought another cymbal? Because, you know, it's a good question. Yeah. And my main reason is because I won't use it for weddings or anything like that. Mm. But in the studio, it's rocking out on the crash to my right.
Mm.
When you're finishing a drum fill down by the old Flory Toms, if you're then starting that crash beat, you have to go straight to that crash.
Mm.
So then you miss out on the explosion.
Yeah.
So having a third crash next to that.
So are you having this crash?
So I'll have two on my right.
Oh, got you. Cool. Nice. Very cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've been shopping.
You certainly have.
And then I've bought another stand for that online. And I've, because I'm a knobhead, I've bought the exact same crash stand that I have my other three crashes.
That's fair enough. Yeah.
But it's the Mapex. I think it's a B600. It's a Mars series stand. It's nothing fancy at all.
Yeah.
But they're just, for the money, 60 quid. Like, they're just really good.
That's the sort of thing you buy and you go, oh, should I get 60 quid or should I buy one for 40? And you're like, oh my God, just pay 60 and you'll never ever think about it again because you'll have it forever. It's like, yeah.
Well, I think for me, it's going, well, why don't I, you know, buy like one several models higher that's more expensive? It's like, no, just, these stands are really good.
Yeah.
And for 60 quid, fine. So yeah, a lot of changes.
Well, me too.
But we'll put. Well, yes.
I also bought a new drum kit. Dun dun dun.
Pray, do tell. Well, can I tell that this was the day after Ben Corner's party.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
And you said to me, I said, "Are you staying in Pompey tonight? Are you going back to Brighton?" You said, "I'm going back to Brighton." I go, oh, I've got this jam session. I don't really want to do it, but I said I'd do it.
Yeah.
And then later that day,
yeah.
Please.
Well,
continue.
Firstly, I hope the guy doesn't listen to this pod. But I,
George was absolutely buzzing for this jam.
So excited!
He bloody loves jam.
So it was, yeah,
like
it was
a wasp in summer.
It was at a mate's house.
Fucking loves jam.
I don't know, jam sessions when it's in front of people, I'm all for it. You know what I mean? But if it's at someone's house...
You want
house,
the applause, you want the glory.
I do. When it's at someone's house, I can sometimes be like, are we just going to be playing funk for 4 hours, you know, in someone's room, you know? But anyway, he had this... oh, my God. He had the most amazing electric kit. It cost him $3,000. It was massive. It was really cool. But by the side of it, he had a... I could see it. I could see what it was already because I've even said before, I've wanted a smaller kit for smaller gigs because my kit is massive and it's mental bringing it to places or even just places where it's like the stage isn't as big, you know. Anyway, And I always thought, well, the Gretsch Catalina kit is a kit I've always heard of, and I'm aware it's small, but good. What? You got something to say?
Well, remember when Jack emailed us his pictures of his kit?
Yeah.
He had a Gretsch Catalina and an electric kit, and we were looking at how lovely that Gretsch Catalina was, and I said, that's the sort of thing you're after, isn't
yeah.
it? That's the sort of thing you'd... Because you had said you were looking for a smaller kit.
Yeah. And I think maybe that added to it. And I think I had a mate who had one when I shared a house with him years ago, and who actually listens to this pod, I think. So Ryan, if you're listening, I'm pretty sure
you
had
one. Big Rye.
But I, it was just stacked up, and in his room, and I was like, what's the deal with that? You got a drum kit there? He's like, yeah, I don't really use it anymore. I'm looking to. Whatever, it doesn't matter. And I was like, well, I'm in the market for that specific kit. He went, oh, mate, I can just give it to you on a long-term loan, or, you know, if you want to buy it. I was like, yeah. And so I went and picked it up the next day or something. I can't remember. He dropped it around. I haven't really had the chance.
You texted me and said, I might be getting a Gretsch Catalina.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, you know, secondhand and new.
Yeah.
And you said, oh, of this guy. And you went, I'm getting it in 15 minutes.
Oh, yeah, well, that was
exact.
It. Yeah, because I didn't know if I was going to get it. So I was like, I'll wait until I message him the next day. And I messaged him because I was eager to get it. And I said, look, do you want me to come round today? I was quite forceful. And he went, no, I'll drop it round. Give me 10. I was like, give me 15 or whatever. So anyway, I haven't actually really played it that much yet. But it looks lovely. It's all stacked up. And after this pod, I'm going to go to the studio and kind of just go through it and see what's what. But the thing is, he bought it and it still just has the factory heads. So I think I'm ready for a reskinning thing. But as always, I like a goal with anything I've got. So I've got a gig with Lennon on February 17th, something like that. A Friday in Feb, maybe next week. It is next week. And it's a pub gig. And I thought, perfect. If there's ever a chance to try out a small kit, it's then. But it's nice. You know, £300 for the lot. Kick, toms, and snare. Sizes, 18 kick by something. I don't know what, but it's small. 12 and 14 toms. And then a 14 snare.
Nice.
But it's just perfect. It's just, I already know it's going to be so much easier for gigs. I'm going to put it in my car and go, oh my God, look at that. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
It's all in and I have so much more room, you know.
I mean, I've gigged with a 14-inch floor tom for quite a while now.
Yeah.
And that is a big difference.
Yeah.
So even, you know, doing that and dropping your kick down to an 18-inch.
Yeah.
Massive.
Oh, it's going to be insane. But no, I'm
what are you going to do? What are you thinking skin wise?
Well,
are you going for?
This
think?
Is a good question. Probably end.
If you've got questions about the ambassador and the emperors.
Well, so this is the thing.
I know, man.
So people always go on about the Gretsch Catalina, and I think it's almost assumed that you should get coated skins because it sort of lends itself to jazz, baby. And but there was a few people, you know, I
think Gretsch does, doesn't it? Like,
I think it does.
Lends
yeah.
itself, but I bet, you know, maybe Gretsch like, we do rock too.
Well, I looked online and a few people were like, look, if you use these clear ones, I can't remember which brand or whatever, they were like, it's well punchy. So maybe think about that. I don't know. I almost don't want to just go, well, everyone says coated's the best and then go for that. So I don't know, but I'll have a look. Maybe I'll just copy what you've done. And but do it on this kit as a good starting point because then I can try out the whole Emperor Ambassador ting.
Well, yeah, and I think potentially with that, and maybe part of the reason I did that was because it's almost like that's your basic default.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like that's your, they're really good, but that's your, there's no extra little bits, you know. So that's your really good starting point, and you can't really go wrong with it. But then once you've done that and got to know it, then you can...
Maybe then you'd hear the difference more if you did switch to like a pinstripe or something. Yeah. Or, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, totally. That's totally.
Your bog sort of standard.
But anyway, yeah. Got a new kit and it's going to be great. It's just going to be for any function gig I ever do from now on. That's the kit that's going. I'm never using... I don't think I'll use the Star Classic again. You know, I'm 30 this year. I'm not lugging that shit around. But that's that. Right, quickly, because we've nearly been going an hour, I'll end with, I went to a pizza making course, didn't I? I should probably tell you about that.
Because why not? He's done croissants. Done croissants. Nailed.
Now for
He's
pizza.
He's on to the pizzas now.
Completely different vibe with this one. Oh my God. Croissants start at, I can't remember what time, 10 a.m., something like that. This pizza course started at 6:30 in the evening, and you turn up and they're like, what do you want to drink? Beer or wine? You're like, oh, okay, cool. I was like, I'll have a beer, please. And yeah, they take us into this room. We didn't make our own dough because they have this massive dough machine, which is quite cool. So they show us how they put the flour in. But then once they've done the dough, they're like, right, they prove it. And then have a bit of dough and make a pizza. It's great. And I was on my own, but I didn't care. You know, I kind of feel like I'm somewhat living the life of a person who's, this isn't the case, but has just come out of a relationship. And it's like, do you know what? I'm going to have a good time. I'm going to go a pizza making course on my own. And it's going to be great.
Yeah. So I'm going to do all the things that they never let me do.
Exactly. But
and the funny thing is, Elfie's putting you on these courses.
Yeah. Get out of the house, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, fuck off.
Yeah. so anyway, I
getting you ready.
Yeah. Anyway, we made these pizzas. I did the course. It was a vegan course, which was the letdown because it meant there was no proper cheese but I just said yes, of course, because I was like, I don't care if it's vegan, I want to learn how. So we had, like, it was the vegan lasagna pizza we had to make. So it's like a bechamel sauce and like a ragu and stuff, but it was just quite cool. Then you put it, you make up your pizza, and then they let me do the shovel or whatever, and shovel it into the oven. And here's a fun fact to make this not boring. How long do you reckon it takes to cook a pizza in a pizza oven?
8 minutes.
1:30.
Wow.
That's quick, isn't it? That's way quicker than I thought it would be. Anyway, then you get it out and then you eat your pizza and you chat there. I ended up chatting to a lovely couple. And you asked, what do they think about pineapple? There was a guy who kept asking all the Italian people there, what do you think of pineapple? And they were like, I've tried it once. It's okay, but, you know, it's not my go-to. They didn't go full Italian and be like, it's a travesty, you know, or whatever. Whatever. Because they get very passionate about their food, don't they, the Italian? You know, if you snap your spaghetti, or if you ask for ketchup on your pizza, or, you know, have a cappuccino with your meal, all these rules that, you know.
Yeah, something like times of the day. If you order a coffee at a certain time of the day, they're like, you're mental.
Yeah. So anyway... But I don't think pineapple.
What's next? What's the next course you're going
to
do?
Bread. I reckon I'd love to do a bread one because it'd be good. I think bread's probably the only one that I do and then actually do at home. You know what I mean? Like pizza, you really need a good oven and you need to be up to fucking 500 degrees and, you know, conventional ovens. You can preheat them all day, baby, but...
All day.
250 is probably your limit.
250 top. Yeah. You're topping out at 250 on it.
And croissants. I mean, I've still got some dough in the fridge, but I don't know. It takes 48 hours. But bread.
It's too long.
But yeah. For something you can get a little for 50p. Bread, you know, bread's quite a good one. So I think a bread course would be good. But anyway, we have been talking for an hour. So
We just had a flurry of things going on.
Well, we did, yeah. Next week, we'll have my friend Dean. A lot of people may go, oh, they're running out of guests. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. So if you think that, give us some guests. No. So enjoy that, because that was a good chat, and I hope the edit wasn't too bad for that one, Ben.
Not done it yet, so we'll see.
Just put the whole thing out, who cares?
We got the Dino on. He's been mentioned on here lots. You do a lot of work with him, a lot of gigging.
Yeah.
He's a guitarist.
Yeah, that's why I was like, are you running out of guests? Because he's not a drummer, but I thought it'd be good to get a perspective of a non-drummer.
But we have got some good... as well as Dean, we've got some other great guests
coming up, yep, including one episode we've recorded today, which will come out in a few weeks, yep, but we'll leave it there,
yeah,
on that. But yeah, I'll send you pictures of my new stuff because big upgrade on the old drums.
Yeah, I'm ready.
For me. Yeah, both of us. Got bloody yeah. Rich Catalina now kicking about.
Been a great week.
Been an expensive week.
Right.
But yeah, email, keep in touch. Yeah. Anyone else from France? Anyone else from any other countries, get in touch.
Yeah.
Let us know where you're listening from and send us your kit pictures. Instagram, Drum and Drummer Podcast. Email, drumandrummerpod@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Twitter, X, Apple Drummers, but Twitter shit.
Yeah.
And spread the good word and give us 5 stars that we thoroughly deserve. We'll see you next time.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Drum and Drummer. You can find us on Instagram at Drum and Drummer Podcast. And you can send us an email to drumanddrummerpod@gmail.com. Remember, just pick up the sticks and twat it.